Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 297, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a little deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. Woo! My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. No one knows what it's like to be this Jack guy. To be this thick guy behind plump thighs. That is courtesy of Blinky Heck, Behind Blue Eyes by The Who, which might not seem like the most appropriate song to open up our 50th anniversary of hip hop.
Kind of a grim topic.
But I don't know. It actually resonates with me as for a conversation of like what the world would look like if hip hop had never existed. It would just be a lot of guys with blue eyes feeling sorry for themselves. Mm. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Let's fucking keep it hip hop with this, AKA Oppenheimer girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic. It's bombastic, superheated air, destruction everywhere, imagination, death is your creation. Okay, anyway, shout out to Johnny Davis, the short show titled hip. God. Yeah,
that's than
big hip hop. Shout out to you for that one. Shout out to all the Barbenheimers out there. I only got half of it done this week, but I will complete the other half this week.
Yeah, we will finish.
Yeah.
All right, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a brilliant poet, political activist, academic, MC, and podcast host of The Must Listen, Hood Politics with Prop on Cool Zone. It's the brilliant, the talented Jason Petty, a.k.a. Propaganda!
What up, y'all? I might as well continue the tradition here. You know, this is Propaganda, a.k.a. only when I get an email from Anna. I'm on the Daily Zeitgeist. My name is Prop. I host Hood Politics with me. I sell cold brew coffee. That's Prop, courtesy of me.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
That was a joint right there.
Man, I was like, listen, I keep them in the holster, like a true MC.
Yeah.
I keep them in the holster.
How many writtens do you ever, like, if, I'm sure, you know, you go to freestyle battles and stuff. How many writtens would you have in your back pocket?
Man, I mean, I come from the age where you're not supposed to have
writtens in your back pocket.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you get like, it's more like you have like, a grab bag of like 4-bar, 8-bar,
something to
like
finish off
things
in
there. Just if you get lost, you can pull something out of there.
Right.
But like a full verse, someone's gonna catch you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can never come back.
Yeah. I remember being like really disappointed when I used to think like mixtape freestyles were actual freestyles.
No.
Like back in the day, I'm like, no, they're workshopping like other material that's gonna end up on a track. And for the real heads, you're like,
exactly.
That was on that
I heard that line.
Yeah.
That was on that Green Lantern mixtape.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They were workshopping it.
That kind of goes to like what we're going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
That attitude.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we get there.
For sure, yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, what we are talking about today is hip hop. It is the 50th anniversary. We're going to just talk general thoughts on yeah. How'd it go? 50 years in.
Yeah.
So what do we think?
Liking it? We liking yeah. it?
We just listened to some hip hop and we're all getting back
what
together.
Do you think?
What do we yeah. think?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're going to, you know, talk about the history, talk about the best and worst things that happened to us because of hip hop, talk about what does a world without hip hop look like?
Sheesh. Which I said on our text thread, is that just a world without black and brown people? Because I feel like you would have to take away some of the vibrancy, the life, the energy, the rhythms of these cultures to then. Anyway, right. But I don't know. That's for us to discuss. We can discuss.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. Very
if it never crossed yeah, like the mainstream, maybe is more appropriate. Right. Like if it didn't yeah, influence what the way it did.
Yeah. If we never fought to like keep it authentic, like if it just becomes. Like we just gave up at rock and roll to where it's just like, all right, we invented stuff.
Yeah, fuck
we
this.
Can't look, we can't ever keep anything for ourselves.
Right,
so
yeah,
we forget
right.
it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. But before we get to any of that shit prop, we do like to get to know our guests a little bit better ask you, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Man, I wish I had something like fun, but like I've had to continue to look for my own like name and address on the internet, and so I've Googled myself a bunch of times.
Oh, I can send it to you. Do you need?
Do you need it? Oh. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. I kind of had like a serious kind of like stalker situation.
Oh no!
And there was like a moment to where me and my wife kind of looked at each other because basically the dude found my wife's number,
mm-hmm.
and. At that point, I was like, all right, I'm gonna catch a case if we don't fix this.
Right.
You know, yeah. So yeah. So like, I just had to like find all these programs that you can like get your information, your personal information scrubbed off the internet. So I just kind of check here and there to make sure that like you can't at least find my home address.
Because right,
if someone pulls up at the crib at that point, yeah, I'm like, well,
different. Yeah.
Yeah, take care of my children, guys.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Somebody Oof. Look out for my kids.
Well, no, yeah. I think you'll be all right. But yeah, that is like a really complex thing about the internet, right? Is like the right yeah. to like even disappear. That's something people have talked about for years ago. Like, do you have yeah. the ability to be completely anonymous? Because yeah. when you see yourself on those public record sites, it's a lot of fucking hoops you have to jump through to even get to somebody who will be like, oh, okay, we'll take that down.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, easy. Even with like, I mean, I had to show that like I filed a restraining order. Like I had to like show that like, yo, I did the work, you know.
Right, right.
And filing the restraining order was even drama. I was like, God, it's like it takes these many times. I'm like, man, like y'all like luckily this dude isn't violent, if you will. Sure. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I thought, damn, like what if this was violent? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
How hard it was to actually get this stuff taken care of. Like it took months, man.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so the last thing, so I just had to double check like a couple days ago to be like, all right, am I still, can you find my address?
Right, right.
You know?
The dark side of the internet. Yeah,
for yeah, real. It really is. And that like it's so much awful shit is said on the internet that by the time you get to the people who help with this stuff, they're like,
yeah,
they just seem exhausted, you know?
Yes.
So,
right.
Yes.
Like we had a couple things back in the day with like people saying anti-Semitic shit that was like, you know, violent. And we like had a writer who like went to the FBI and it was wild. Like, but like the number of hoops you have to jump through just to like get them to even be like, all right, we checked into it. It seems like they're full of shit. They're like
seems
a 9-year old.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy. What is something prop you think is overrated?
Yeah.
Family vacations.
What happened?
I don't know why I laughed at that.
Because you get it.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. There's
because you get it. You know, I don't. Okay, Miles, you on your way, buddy.
I know.
You
know like, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You only got one appendage. Like, once you get a couple appendages, you know, it's like, fam. Like, they're not vacations. They're trips.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm working. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I don't know. And for somebody like me who you know, I was a touring artist for years. You know what I'm saying? So I travel for work. Right. You know what I mean? I got a system. I know how, you know what I'm saying? You get to the airport at this time. I got access to this lounge. I know which bathroom to use.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we got to be at the, sit here at this time. This where I park. Like, right. I got the system down. When you with the queen, you feel me? The kids ain't listening to you because the queen's there. So, and she don't care because she on vacation. So she gonna move at the pace she want to move at. Now I'm irritated, you know what I'm saying? And we spending more money, you know, now you want some juice. And I'm like, you don't need to get juice. They got juice on the plane. Just right. wait till we get on the plane. But I'm thirsty now, right? Okay, everybody go to the bathroom because it's going to be in a line. I don't got to go to the bathroom. Now we in there. You beg for the window seat. You beg for the window seat. Now you got to use the bathroom. So you finna make everybody, and I'm like, God, dog, yo, you spin it more than you won't, you know, right, it's just,
right. Oh my God.
It's just, it's work.
It's so work. Much work. Yeah. My kids like to go to the bathroom on the plane, like just to break things up. Like,
yeah, it's
for
just
fun.
Just to be like, I'm going to get up and go, you know what? I'm going to just
stretch my legs.
Cause you sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Okay, Miles. Take that little newborn on a plane. Yeah. Wait till their ears pop.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I good know. Luck, big dog.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
We got a plane ride coming up in a couple months. I'm like a little bit like,
bro, I'm old school. I didn't do this with my children, but my grandma definitely suggested the little cap full of whiskey.
Yeah.
You just kind of like put
Benadryl,
them out.
Benadryl, whiskey.
The Benadryl.
So
NyQuil.
Yeah, right.
Just
right,
a
right.
cap full.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Night, night.
Exactly. Just a little bit of lean I found in my garage.
A little bit. Just
to put the baby down.
This is not the official stance of
the Daily.
No, it's the official stance the of Miles Gray, though, just so you know.
Yes. We'll
put that out there. Yes. But no, the other thing I read is like, you know, having like, they could like nurse or eat like from a bottle because that helps like clear their air, is a little bit pressurized. But yeah, I don't, so far, very chill baby. So, and he's still in that phase where like, he goes where I put him down. So
yeah, basically.
That's why I'm a little bit more like, okay, I think we can get through this. He's not mobile and like grabbing shit and throwing it yet. When we get to that point, I think that's when more of my hair will start to fall out and more gray hair will enter the picture.
Yeah. When they got opinions.
Right.
For now, you can just leave him at the gate to hold your seat for you while you go and buy stuff at the, you know, just leave him in that chair. He's not going anywhere.
Just upright.
Yeah. When you get to that like super cool hotel, that's like, cool for the size that you need because it's for y'all.
Right.
So it's not really cool, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Right. And you like, oh, good. Our kid's bed is literally right next to the bed that I'm with. So well, there go the love making because I'm laying right next to my child.
Right, right, right.
Right. And then just go ahead and walk by that super cool bar because you're not gonna go down there.
Right. Just take it.
You can't leave your children in a room, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. It just reminds me of this shit that would happen actually when I was a kid, right? And just so this is like some real patriarchal type shit where like if we're on a vacation with like other families, like at night, the dads would go fuck off and get fucked up. I remember.
Yeah.
Like they would go do something like we were hanging out with the moms and I was always like, when do you guys do that? They're like,
oh, no. They don't.
They're like, we're drinking wine here right now.
Yeah. Right.
Don't worry. And I was like,
we prefer your company, actually.
Yeah. To be honest. Yeah. Than hear them
to be honest.
Talk about junior varsity soccer.
Yeah, but we, you know, we modern folk, ain't no way in the world.
Yeah.
Ain't no way in the world.
You discover weird parts of the hotel that, like, you didn't, because, like, we're just walking. We're like, all right, let's walk to the end of this floor of the hotel and
find, to see what
like,
happens.
Check in every door and see what's in there. Just like, ooh, which is kind of fun.
There's an ice machine. Let's go get ice.
Holy shit, another ice machine?
Oh,
are
my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Family vacations, completely overrated. But it's like, it's great when your kids are older and they're like, dude, remember when we went to this and this? Like, it's so cool. Like, you know, they love it, but it's great. It's just overrated.
Yeah. At that point, but that's the duty of the parent, right? That point, you are just the facilitator for their formative memories.
Exactly.
But anybody who like, you come back from a family vacation is like, are you nice and relaxed? It's like, nope.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Damn.
Tired.
Yeah.
More tired than I was the day I left.
Yes. Well, so what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
just like vibe out? I don't know. I mean, like, I think
you make it fun for them. You just, that's why I'm like, it's work. You're there so they have good time. You're not on vacation.
Yep.
You are a servant.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm good at
You're
that.
Not on vacation. They are.
I used to host like kids' birthday parties at laser tag, so I know how to be like the entertainer.
Oh, you're going to be great.
and act.
Yeah, you're going to be amazing.
You just have to tell your brain you're not on vacation. That's what I had to learn. It took me so many years to figure out, oh, I'm not on vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah.
But then you don't have to worry about anything. You're just there.
Then you're fine.
Choose your own adventure. We're there in charge. What's something you think is underrated?
I guess almost on the same theme. I think solo missions, man. Like, whatever that solo mission is, whether it's a restaurant, a movie, a walk, you know what I'm saying? The gym, a trip, you know what I'm saying? Wow. Like, dog, I feel like fools be like sleeping on solo missions. First of all, it costs half of what it would cost. Number one.
It's the cheapest.
You know what I'm saying?
I would say much less in my case, but
yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
It's a 250-year-old man, but
yeah, no. Yeah, it's gonna cost so much less. And I say half because it's like, cause that's that money I'm saving, I'll now spend on extravagant stuff that I wouldn't have bought if there was other people here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, get the extra avocado. You feel me? Like, you know, take that tour. You know what? I will take that extra bottle of wine. You feel me? Because it's just me. Like, you know, I could do that. You know what I'm saying? So I just think solo missions, you could get an app, you know, get an appetizer. You feel me? Like,
I love how a lot of your memories right now, it feels like you... Every situation you're in, ordering dinner with your family, it's like, I want to order this, but I can't right now.
And I absolutely can't.
Are all your solo missions to a restaurant?
Listen, you got to take what you can get.
Right.
Now, I think the thing for me is like, I love experiences. Like, I realize like when people ask you like, oh, what gives you life and stuff like that? Like, I don't want like objects. Like, don't buy me no objects. Like, I'll get the object. I'll get that for myself because it's like, I've already researched it. I know which little doodad that I want and I'll get it for me. Right. Yeah. But if I want a gift, like a treat, it's like, I want to go experience something incredible. You feel me? So I'm the type that like, I got a trillion tabs or like stars on my like Yelp for every city. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm like, I'm gonna go to this spot. They got the bomb dumplings.
Right.
You feel me? And I know I like that stuff, but I don't want to have to come to a consensus with everybody else. You feel me? I'm like,
convince
no.
Convince your kid they like it too.
Yes.
Which,
hey, listen.
I enjoy this. I don't want to have to fucking negotiate over it.
I don't have to negotiate it and then watch you get these chicken tenders and like, you know, feel me? And it's just like, even watching you get chicken tenders bothers me.
Yeah.
Like just seeing it. And I'm just like, I'm trying to show you the world. Like I'm like,
show you the world.
Like I'm from South Central Los Angeles. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand what we providing for you right now? You feel me? Like, no, you don't. The chicken fingers. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. Don't come. Yeah. Just don't come.
Right.
You're not going to enjoy it. You're going to mess up my time. So I love solo missions.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we will talk all things hip hop, 50 years of hip hop, celebrate and ask where it's headed. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And yeah, so about 50 years ago, you know, so some stories say late 60s, but, you know, but mainly I think everybody's just kind of coordinated that we're going to celebrate 50 years this year, 2023. Mm-hmm. The founding story is super inspiring because it's like a lot of people practicing the thing that we now talk about as being like future facing, like people in a local community, just like spending time with each other, like no real profit motive involved, just trying to like throw the best party. And yeah, it was like this organic thing that came out of a neighborhood that the mainstream media, like at the time, was treating the Bronx, because that's where the Yankees played and they had like a pennant winning team at that time. And it was like this big story that like, look at this fucking hellscape. Like people actually live here. Look at these fucking pictures, you guys. It's a nightmare. And like, meanwhile, the people who live there creating the coolest art form, I think, in American history would be my argument. But the best thing in America is invented.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta give jazz its props. But yeah, it's
jazz did happen.
It is wild to think, just like it's been 50 years, and the amount of cultural change that has occurred as a result, I think, is really mind blowing. And I know, like, when we were talking, like, how do we even talk, like, you know, because they're saying, like, you know, people at the network, like, do you want to do like a 50th anniversary hip hop thing? We're like, yeah, for sure. But what's important to us, I think, in terms of talking about hip hop? I mean, obviously, there's plenty of podcasts you can listen to that'll give you beat for beat, like the, you know, historical timeline of hip hop. But I know, like, when we were talking about this, there's so many things that come through my mind, whether it's like capitalism or black liberation or just joy from having a art form or genre of music that energizes you. I was like, well, I don't know if we can just talk about one thing. So I don't know, where do we want to start? Do we want to talk about broadly how like everyone's entry point into hip hop, everyone's like what the best or and worst things that being into hip hop have given to you? Because I have my experiences run the gamut, and not to say that I feel like hip hop has inherently done anything negative to me, but I will say being a teenager and looking up to artists in New York City who had a completely different lifestyle than I did definitely led me into some interesting places as a kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do think like this is one of those topics when you guys had me on there, like there's you guys said that, you know, to come on this, like, I've never needed less prep for a pod. Like,
right.
Like, you know, and I'm like really, you know, in some ways, like trying not to like dominate the convo because like there's not many more things I'm more passionate about than like what hip hop is, what it's meant to the world. And even you bringing up jazz is like the comparison of just like the ingredients that jazz came out of are almost the same as hip hop,
right,
you know, whether it was economic, geopolitical, like it still sits in that sort of like, you know, you bringing up the Bronx, it's like, well, yeah, like if y'all watched Warriors, like the movie, you know what I'm saying? It's like, there was a blackout in the Bronx and there were slumlords who were destroying buildings. That's why you had the Rubble Kings. That's why it looked like a hellscape, because landlords would rather destroy their buildings, you know, and get the insurance rather than make livable sort of conditions for these people. And on top of those rubble, kids, you know, black and Puerto Rican kids through parties.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, y'all's economic, you know, racist economic practices gave us this. The same with jazz. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all's racist economic things pushed us over into this corner and we created brilliance out of it.
Right. I guess just broadly, Jack, what is the best thing that hip hop has given you?
I mean, again, like very hard, very, very like broad question is probably the art form that was the first thing that was like that I was my own, I guess, you know, like I didn't know anybody. Like I was living in the suburbs of Dayton, Ohio when I really started getting into rap. Obviously, at first, my first introduction was MC Hammer.
Yeah,
please Hammer, sure. Don't hurt him.
Right.
And then my parents didn't let me buy the parental advisory albums, like, because that,
as a good parent.
Yeah, like, you know, I would, like, through osmosis pick up, like, R-rated movies, or, you know, they'd be on HBO, or, like, you know, my friends would rent them at their house, so I was able to see those, but, like, I couldn't break through, because that, like, you were never just incidentally, like, picking it up. You would either have to steal it, or, like, one time I went to the record store with, like, my friend whose parents let them get it, and I bought, and this is what I thought was edgy at the time, Naughty by Nature. I was like, yes, I can finally cop the knife. And then I turned the sleeve inside out, inside the tape cover, so that the
smart
parental advisory thing wasn't on the front.
Right.
Smart.
But yeah. And then, you know, once I was able to, like, make purchases and, like, buy everything I wanted to, like, Wu-Tang was, you know, 93 to 97 was probably the best, like, fan experience I ever had, like, best cultural experience I ever had. Like, it was the first brand I was, like, super loyal to. I had every single album cover as a poster on my wall. Every time a solo album would come out, I would, like, add that poster. The, you know, I didn't have the new Harry Potter drop as a thing I camped out for, but I still remember, like, going to the mall the day Wu-Tang Forever dropped. And, there being a line, and, like, playing it in the car on the way home with my friend, and just, and it delivered, you know? I loved that album.
I had my cousin buy me that album because I was like, I was 13 when that came out and I looked a kid. And my cousin was older and he's Japanese. And we were like, I think we were in New Jersey I forget why. And we went to the record store. I'm like, hey, you got to get me the Wu-Tang album. And he's like, what? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, because they're not going to ask you, like, they're not going to press you about being a kid. Because I was like, they're not going to sell it to me. And I remember this black woman was checking him out. He brought the fucking CD to the counter. She looked at him. She goes, you like Wu-Tang? To him straight up, and he got so nervous, even though it wasn't like, are you of age? It's just like, she felt like, she's like, what's, oh, she's like, okay, you're down. He's like, oh, yeah, I do. She's like, oh, okay, all right. She's like, yeah.
He goes, cool. They're nothing to fuck with.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, they are for the children. So that's why I'm leaving with this album.
I'm not sure if you've heard, but Wu-Tang is for the children.
Man.
Yeah, just generally, I think it was the coolest thing I had a chance to be a part of. Like, it was, like, you know, once it broke mainstream, it was definitely, like, it was outsider art. It bonded me with my older sister, who was, like, way cooler than me. But, like, you know.
What was your sister listening to?
Huh?
What was your sister listening to?
She was listening to, like, everything. I mean, at that time, she was hanging with, like, some straight edge people who listened to rap. So I forget specifically, but they made me a mixtape that I bet that's where that 2000 song, actually, no, that was 95, so it would have been well before that. But, like, there are still songs I recognize from that, you know, we didn't, like, have the albums, but we had, like, mixtapes that we would just
I mean, that's how it went. Yeah.
And then, like, she taught me, like, prep was a bad word, you know. She was like, you're not dressing like a prep, are you? I was like, no. Fuck them. I hate the preps. Cop.
Yeah.
I love it.
Take them Dockers off, homie.
Yeah.
Prob, what about you? I mean, I can only imagine what you would say, what hip hop has done for you, the life it's given you, the experiences you have. But how do you summarize that?
It's you're right. It's so hard to summarize. Like, you know, it sounds so cliche. It's on a t-shirt, you know, but truly I can say, like, hip hop saved my life. Like, in so many ways and so many levels. Like, I mean, I've been a professional rapper for, you know, so long, but, like, I mean, I saw the world. Like, hip-hop took me across the world. I met my wife because of hip-hop, you know what I mean? Like, you know, just my friend network to this day, like just everything, like it gave me so much. Why didn't gangbang? It's like, you know, I'm in the age range that Jack is, but it was all happening here for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're, you know, going, you know, you're 8, 9 years old, Breaking and Breaking 2 comes out, you know, and, but I could go to Venice,
you know, so
you go to Venice Beach and you like, I don't know what these Crips and Bloods is talking about. Right. I mean, it's cool and everything, but that dude just spun on his head.
Right, right.
And I don't, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Whatever that is, you know what I'm saying? So like, you know,
I
got
that.
I don't
know what a bigger is, so I'm going to watch this person dance.
I was like, look, oh, what you talking about? I cut. And I'm like, that mural you drive by, I remember like going from my house to my grandmother's house. My grandmother took care of us, you know, all of our cousins and stuff. And like, you'd have to cross where the 10 and the 101 met over at the LA River, right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right by Alameda. So that's where all the big graffiti stuff was at. You can't, you're like, if you're a single digit age and you're seeing that as you, that's like, it's like, this is larger than life. It's like, who did that? Who got to paint that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I still remember just the feeling of like, I want to be a part of this, you know? Yeah, the clandestine missions to like Fat Beats when, you know, Taste was coming out, catching the bus to Melrose, you know what I'm saying? To get to Fat Beats, you know what I'm saying? To like, you know,
like
it was another
Babu
one called
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, seriously. And that's actually a funny story. This front tooth right here, this chip tooth, Taboo did that. You know,
really?
It was an accident, you know, because you need Taboo used to dance. You know
what
I'm
saying? Oh, I meant DJ Babu.
Oh, Babu. That's I saw Babu all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That, because I remember going to Fat Beats.
You're like, oh, Babu.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
I'm missing this molar because of DJ Babu.
That's his scar right here, bro.
He buck-50'd me.
But you see these guys that now it's like, you know, I'm a preteen while they're, you know, in their 20s and they're creating this culture. You feel me? That like, I'm too young for like Radiotron and all that stuff. I'm old enough for like Unity, Project Blow, or too young for Unity, but old enough to go to it. So you see Dilated Peoples when they're teenagers.
Right.
You see, you know, the Far Side. You see this stuff happening. Daz, Corrupt, Snoop, you see it happening, but they're the big kids. You know what I mean? And you're like, I just, whatever that is, I want to be a part of it. And you just, so like, honestly, that's, if it wasn't for graffiti, like if it wasn't to find another tribe, you know, I'm from the inner city. Like you find another tribe that's not, if you're not slanging drugs, you're not gang banging, you're not like a, you know, I was a late bloomer. Like I didn't grow a mustache till college. So I wasn't playing basketball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, but I found my tribe, you know what I'm saying? And with that tribe, you could be a little more open-minded. I could go kick it with the skaters. Like I could go to Dogtown. You know what I'm saying? Cause we had hip hop, you know, in common. You feel me? Like, I didn't have to, like, stay on the block and, you know what I'm saying? And,
be
hard and stuff like that. Like, I could be creative.
It opened
the
world, yeah, for sure.
So I'm like, I mean, obviously, I could gush about hip-hop forever. But ultimately, like, if I were to solidify it, it's like, yeah, like, it gave me a place to be, you know, that got me through, you know, all the stuff that everybody knows about the inner cities in the 90s.
Right, right. Yeah.
How about you, Miles?
For me, like, you know, being biracial and growing up in the San Fernando Valley, it's not like, obviously I have my whole black family and extended family that I was able to derive my own sense of blackness from. But also when they all lived on the other side of the city, like in South LA.
Yeah.
And so being there, like, unless I was on the weekends every day at school, it's like me and like maybe a couple other black and brown kids at school. I didn't have a lot of my sense of like my racial identity was a little bit stunted because a lot of the communities I were in weren't necessarily looking like me or had the same existential stakes as I did.
Yeah.
And I think rap was one of those, like those first mainstream forms of media that was speaking just pure unadulterated, like blackness, like into my ears.
Yeah.
And also understanding things like getting into more conscious rappers and actually understanding, like hearing through hip hop, it really actually helped me make sense of like white supremacy or racism, police violence and things like that, because I wasn't experiencing them firsthand. But I knew based on everything my relatives say, what my father would say, what my grandfather would say about how they grew up, what their experiences were, that there was, I needed a way to sort of, I don't know, I guess connect to it.
Yeah.
And again, help me feel like it's okay that I might feel like the odd kid out or whatever, or whatever it is, because there is this much larger world where people are being able to like vocalize something about a struggle that is like being black or brown or just in general poor in America. And I think those things are all very interesting. They helped me like kind of take it, not take it so much for granted. Like in the beginning, I was just I love, you know, all the Bad Boy shit and like the bling bling era and things like that. And then when like Black on Both Sides by Mos Def came out in 1999, I was like in eighth grade. And that's when like shit started like opening up. And I was like, oh my God, yes, this is like, I'm finally finding things that are articulating a lot of deep down injustices that I'm like, that I'm observing and couldn't quite articulate. So in that sense, like that was one of the greatest things to happen, is to really get me to see the world differently, but also understand like where I fit into the larger context of it all, and like what my place was in it. And for me, that's always, and again, like to your point, that's always given me community, because when I was in high school, I was a DJ and I would like, you know, fancy myself a freestyle rapper every now and then if I got drunk enough. Yeah. And that immediately gave me community with all the Filipino kids who are the breakers and the DJs and stuff like that. And then I could go. And again, like to your point, you could enter a lot of different spaces, because at that point in the early 2000s, hip hop was so pervasive. Like it was kind of shorthand for a lot of people to be like, yeah, this is our like cultural common ground. So, that also, again, helped me connect to a lot more people that I didn't. Because then even then, I would look at kids who were like, I like fucking Limp Bizkit or whatever, and then like some
that's not
like,
hip hop.
Yeah. And someone's got like, yo, like you heard of Mac Dre, and I'm like, you're white though. okay, what's up then?
Tell me more.
Yeah, exactly. Or like my homie Chris, his older brother Ryan, like the whitest dude you know, but he was so into Wu-Tang at the time. We were like, yo, Ryan fucks with Wu-Tang, and like we're fucking nine. You know what I mean? And we're like, yeah, we fuck with Wu-Tang now too, but not really realizing like later on, you're like, wow, what was his entry point into Wu-Tang? But I get that it's all different. But again, it just immediately created this like understanding too. So yeah, in that sense, that's why I credit me being more interested in music and making music and being involved with like more music stuff. It all just really comes from that, and finding like an art form that felt like it was truly like speaking to me.
Yeah.
So on the question of like what, because we did this thought experiment last week with Adam talking about like if Hollywood had never been unionized, like, and I think we landed at like film looks a lot different, TV looks a lot different. So with this one's obviously a lot harder to imagine a world where hip hop had never been invented. I do think like it seems inevitable in the past tense, but like just how absolutely like perfect it was for the moment and for the past 50 years of culture. Like it fully embodies like all the thing, like postmodernism, where like it just takes from the rest of the world, ingests it, and like creates new art that is like perfect and constantly evolving and like, you know, resists kind of being co-opted, but then still ultimately is co-opted. So like it works like in the same way that we talk about like capitalism as being this like living, breathing entity. Like it feels like hip hop is this both like part of that, but also like kind of a response to it, and like, I don't know, better than it in some instances, like better at doing the thing that capitalism aims to do. So like, I think it's inevitable. I don't think it would have inevitably been as perfect and brilliant as it ended up being. And like, I kept thinking of Dick Cavett for whatever reason. When we were talking about what pop culture, like Dick Cavett and like the people in the 70s, have you ever seen, like, I didn't know who Dick Cavett was until he started like making the rounds in like viral videos where people are like, look how high David Bowie is in this interview. And it's like him talking to Dick Cavett.
Right.
And Dick Cavett is just this like skinny white dude with his like hair combed to the side, and he's like in a suit, and his way of talking is just so like, I don't know, like sexless and upper crust, and like he's never been on any street anywhere. Like he's never been wet before or something. Like it's just like thinking about that, like made me think back to the, like the 70s was really a fucked up time where I feel like straight white men had just complete unaccountable cultural power for like way too long, and suddenly they like made it cool to look like Burt Reynolds, and like the beauty standards for women like started, like that was when like Brooke Shields became a sex symbol, like in the late 70s, like when she was like 13 or like 12, right. Like it was just, it was like this really toxic fucked up thing. So like I don't know where that would have gone, but it feels like hip hop came through and at least partially was an antibody and was like, okay, we need to relieve straight white men of some of this power to decide what is cool and what is sexy and what like people should wear and talk like, because they are fucking up like so bad. Smokey and the Bandit is number one at the box office, people. We need to do something.
Right. Something must be done. That's funny. Taking your thought experience, like I think about in our home when both my parents split when I started high school. But like before that, you know, my dad was the former revolutionary. You know, I say all the time, my father was a Black Panther. So it was just he was all about, you know, unity among suffering people everywhere. My mom, you know, was the like, she's from the hood, but she, you know, had a radical like Christian conversion, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But she's still from the city. So she still had a little street about her, but was really more about like my soul and like, you know, influenced by the wrong things. My father, because of, like you said, like the type of hip hop I was drawn to really young was like the self-destructions and the we're all in the same game, the really stuff that's about like, you know, even just like the Tribe Called Quest and the Poor Righteous Teachers, the stuff that was just about this like Black excellence, you know what I'm saying? Right. And like you said, like the struggle against, you know, oppression. So to your point, like him coming from the time of the revolution, like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Right.
I got it, but that was my parents' music. You know what I'm saying? Like hip hop was a way in some ways for my dad to like be able to have an inroad into transferring, you know, the torch, the mission down to me because of the hip hop I like. Now, granted, you know, I had same as you, I had like the list of rappers I wasn't allowed to buy tapes you know, the NWAs and the IC. I wasn't allowed to have those. I remember we had a list on the refrigerator, of course, but same thing. My sister's 6 years older than me. She was a part of like a house party, like dancing crew, like totally like the house party movies.
Right.
That's my sister. Like she was that age and she was doing that, you know what I'm saying? And her friends was bringing tapes in when I was like third and fourth grade, you know what I'm saying? You know, getting access to this stuff. But either way, I think, like you said, like a way for this, my dad to be able to be like, yo, this is the movement, and him having the wherewithal to be like, well, if my son is, you know what I'm saying, being drawn to this, you know, this thing that we've created, he's like, I don't have to like it. Right. He's like, I like some of it, but he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but let me be a part of this. So I think to your point, like hip hop became in some ways the continual voice of resistance that was happening with the generation before us.
Yeah.
But just like the generation before us and the generation before them, like you said, the empire always strikes, you know what I'm saying? So like there was always going to be, you know, a money-making version that if we're not careful was going to envelop the whole thing. I brought up on the text thread, like Rapper's Delight, you know, being a hippie to the hippie to hip hop, people believing that that was like the first rap song. Well, that was 7 years later. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not only was it 7 years later, the Cold Crush, the guys that were in that group were the Cold Crush brothers' bodyguards. And some lady was starting a rap group for their record label and they were auditioning people. And the dude was like, hey, Grandmaster Caz, can you write me a rap?
Right.
And guy's like, sure, I guess. So he wrote him a rap. And that rap became Rapper's Delight.
Wow.
And they're the megastars. And it's because the empire always strikes. You know what I'm saying? But that being said, I think, yeah, like, I don't know what would have been our sort of entry into the continuation of feeling like you're right. a part of this longer heritage of like the Black and Brown experience,
yeah.
you know, without us creating our own version of that, whether it was DJing, because you got to remember, if there's no hip hop, there's no DJs.
Yeah,
like exactly. that. So there's so much, you know, there's no streetwear. There's no like yeah. so much missing. That's more than just rap music.
Right. Yeah. That's why I feel like it's more than like if there was a world without it, I feel like it would more, if anything, would just be delayed. Because yeah, I think yeah. hip hop is inevitable. And like to your point, right, about, you know, you talk about before there was fuck the police or fight the power, there was like say it loud, I'm black and I'm
yes,
proud.
Exactly.
And that's James Brown. Or you have uh-huh. Sly Stone and mm-hmm. you have the Black Panthers and you look at Digital Underground, like Money B, his parents yeah. were Panthers. Tupac yeah. comes from like there's like that's a very I think I was and I wrote that in my notes about like it is a continuation. And it was just yeah. like, it's no surprise that a lot of these people come from that tradition. And that yeah. was sort of the earliest way to articulate the struggles of the community, talking about like pervasive police power or, you know, yeah. the prison industrial complex. That was just the new vocabulary to use to, yeah. To be able to talk about that and express that. So like, yeah, in a way, like, I feel like it's inevitable and maybe yeah. could have only been delayed because that's, that was just, unfortunately, that's the momentum of our society was always sort of marginalizing people. And yeah, it turned out that a block party gave us all this.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it's really no surprise. That's why I think it's also important. You got to, California also has a huge part in hip hop because particularly the Bay, because that's where the yeah. black, like the you think of how many people from the Black Panther Party come out of the Bay Area. You think Sly Stone comes out of the Bay Area and how many people reference Sly also as an influence. Mm-hmm. And even his time as a DJ, he had that swag that was kind of like early rapping. You know,
all of our slang, almost yeah. all of our slang come from the Bay. Like
yeah.
almost all of it, you right. know? Yeah.
It is wild when you look again that even in a way that we talk about the Bronx or we talk about California, whatever, that's what makes it feel like inevitable. It's not so much that obviously, like if you want to find a way that like it really began, we can talk about those links to New York. But again, it was just, I think, cultural momentum yeah. that just basically came through and just said, OK, here's a new way of doing everything we've been yeah. doing.
There's a beauty in like, you know, even it being even just the regional expressions, you know, of how hip hop kind of came to be what it is and what Southern music sounds like. You know what I'm saying? Like my homeboy says, like the way he explains it to me is like the type of like L.A. underground stuff, like see that as like jazz, but like the Southern stuff, like that's blues. Like
right.
it just feels right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, I'll wipe me down. Like it just feels right.
Right.
You
right.
feel me? Mm-hmm. Like they're not words. Doesn't have to be words. You know what I'm yeah. saying? It just, the tall white tees, you know what I'm saying? Like that, it just comes from that mud, that soil, that Memphis, because that's where the blues was from. So their kids are going to sound like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just the fact, like, I think it's very important to remember that, like, hip hop is not just rapping. You know what I mean? Like the why we used records was because our schools didn't have music programs. So mm-hmm. like, you know, we had to create music with what we had, you right. know what I'm saying? So like, and that's what they did. Out here in the West, it was like, yeah, we had all the, you know, the G-Funk stuff, you know what I'm saying? All the funkadelic stuff, because we were outside. It was a nice day outside. So you went out, you roller skated, you was on the beach, you know? So our music just sounded different.
Right.
That region, and I love that like hip hop was always able to provide that palette for you to map your experience and your culture on. And which always makes me mad for like old heads that are like, these young niggas is weird. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I get mad at that. Like, that's not real. You know what I'm saying? I'm
he
like,
got
man,
blue
like,
dreads.
Yeah, right. exactly. Cool Mo D's great rap or not. Like, yeah. okay, guys. Like,
Rakim is the GOAT. I will hear nothing less.
I will hear nothing. It's like, course, bro, course, okay. Yeah. Like, that's your thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so when like, you know, when you like, you, Miles, you are the age of like the Cali swag unit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so when they was, you know, that's
right,
your
right,
age.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the cool kids and the, you know, and the jerking, you're a
yeah,
jerk.
The pack. Yeah.
Yeah. All the pack divs and stuff like that. Like that's what they did. They took what was they were exposed to and they made something they own. You know what I'm saying? So even with the mumble stuff, like I'm not the type of dude to be like, I'm not going to ride in my car with it, but I get it. Like they took what they had and they made it their own. And I just think that, like you said, it's inevitable. You're going to make treasure out of whatever you was given.
Right, right. Because that is the process of it all. It's like you take what's left over, what you have access to, and can you just turn that into something? Like, because one thing that I always think about, too, is like how pervasive hip hop is. You know, like, obviously, it's an American art form. But now it's I'd be hard pressed to think of a country where it does not exist.
Exactly.
And I don't know how many genres of music you can actually say that. And even if you think, too, like what's really interesting, even in America, right? Like, I think numerically, most of the consumers of hip hop are white people because that's it. That's just what it is. But I'm always curious to think about what makes it so attractive. Now, I get why, like, I can see how for oppressed people in any country, this hip hop is a way, it's one of the few like genres where it's like it's articulating struggle. It's articulating, like trying to move towards liberation, whatever, however it's defined. So I see that appeal there. And but then eventually that turns into a thing that some more like authoritarian states consider like subversive art because they're giving voice to something that a lot of people are feeling, but in a way that is just very like easily replicated and very shareable, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's just a huge aspect of it that like, I mean, credit to like what it is as an art form, because it doesn't necessarily have to be like it's black people or people from the inner cities in America doing this. It's also here's a set of ideas, an aesthetic.
Culture, yeah.
Yeah. To express, you know, a struggle.
Yeah. I think it's perfectly built as like a foil to capitalism almost in the sense that like the way capitalism operates is it consumes and appropriates everything and ends up destroying it, right? Or like making it uncool. Hip hop consumes and turns everything into art and gets consumed by capitalism, but then it always changes to something new that capitalism then comes for. But then by the time it gets to it, it's always changed to something new. So I think like part of the appeal is just that it doesn't ever fully get bogged down because it always becomes something new that capitalism, like just kind of by the ethos of hip hop, it feels like that is what is seen as true hip hop is not the stuff that is made like decades into a certain style being popular. Like now drill is popular. Like, but like even think about like the way drill was, like it was a Chicago thing, then like a bunch of producers in London started making beats, but then like people in New York started like rapping over those beats in a matter of like 3 weeks. All that shit.
It seemed like,
like, and that's the now like probably considered washed, but it's that changes and like there's a new form of authenticity. But I am curious, like from here, like you talked about its popularity in other countries, and it's also like frequently banned in other countries. And I'm just wondering, like, will there ever be the moment when like hip hop becomes like the sound of a revolution that like actually overtly resists capitalism in some way? Like it feels like the natural weapon for that, right?
I don't know, man. I think there's always this discussion because you have these like concentric sort of intersections, if you will, whether it's resistance, commerce, you know, capitalism, liberation, peace, love, unity, and having fun, if you ask like KRS-One, you know what I'm saying? So you have all these concentric things laying on there. Then there's this discussion where you have, you know, hip hop still only, it's 50, but it's only 50. So meaning we only got one Bono, and the closest of that is Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? That's like, Hov is the closest thing we have to a Bono. And the closest thing we have of someone becoming a politician is Killer Mike. You know what I mean? Like, so in 50 years, we only got two dudes that actually grew up, you know what I'm saying? And became something more transcendent. And both of them, and this is a critique that a lot of people have in hip hop, both of their solutions to liberation is just black capitalism.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, own your own businesses, support black banks, only put your money here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's this like discussion around that. And then you have dudes like, you know, your Chuck D's of the world that are like, nah, burn it all down. You know what I mean? So, you know, and Dead Prez is like, yo, burn it all down. But Dead Prez still wants you to buy the $50 ticket to their concert. You know what I'm saying? So there's this like...
There's a tension.
There's this tension that is a microcosm, I think, of movements everywhere. You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, like you said, capitalism being so pervasive and so just swallowed earth in a way that, like, I don't know if any of us can imagine. And even like you go back to like old, like the old, like, you know, cowboy and like check yourself or you wreck yourself rapping. Like, right. They were talking about their Coupe de Villes and like, you know, they rolling down, you know what I mean? And they, damn, okay, they're in the projects. That stuff is imaginary. Like, they're imagining all the big chains and stuff like that. So, like, that's what hip-hop was. These big rope chains, that's capitalism. I got money now. You know what I'm saying? That's because we was poor. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, liberation to them meant not being poor anymore. So there's just this, like, I don't know, man.
But there's
like,
also, there's a dark side, right? Because all that Dookie chain stuff all comes from just rappers wanting to look like the drug dealers.
They just want to look like the Italian money. Drug dealers, no less. Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? There's just such a bizarre, like, funhouse mirror, like, being aimed at each other thing that, like, reflects back. And, like, it's always a very complex, interconnected system in that way.
And even to that point, I'm sorry, not to dominate, but even to that point, like, there's even a discussion that, like, our version of venture capitalism is drug dealing. Like, it's like you get your money. I can't go to these white banks. You said the supremacy. I can't go to these traditional. I can't go to the white banks. So that's why rappers are always like, yo, I used to be in the streets. Mm-hmm. Now I do this, because that was their version of like investment capital. So it's still just, like you said, this funhouse mirror, because we're still just street dudes. You know what I'm saying? And with the street dudes thing, there's still the homophobia. There's still the misogyny. There's still all these things that like are mirrors of stuff that we just need to deal with, period. That I just, to your question, Jack, like, I honestly don't know if it'll ever fully be that liberation sort of thing you're asking. But also part of the protest is the joy, like the party, you know what I'm saying? The turning up. That is part of the protest. It's like, despite what we going through, we finna turn up, you know?
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, No Name is somebody who's like interesting and has like kind of socialist politics and makes really cool music. And she has an album coming out August 11th. So I'll be looking for that.
I mean, there's no shortage of those like artists either, you know, and I think that's why that's the beauty of it. And the kind of sort of dark part, too, is like you can kind of it's all encompassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, like that point about Jay, like, is funny because I remember when he said that, he's like, I feel like people are using capitalist as a slur,
right?
Yeah, sir, come on now.
Changed quickly. I mean, things changed on him real quickly.
Yeah.
On all of us. So yeah. Well, probably. I mean, love to have you on for a 10-hour episode where we just talk about this, but this was
I do actually have a question, because you did bring it up, and this is something I always think about, is a lot of people who, from the old school, they have a liberation mindset, right? And I think for a lot of people who are a little more, their head is in the space of, like, Black liberation, liberating, like, working people, all that, and being as inclusive as possible, at what point do you think it could, hip-hop, not that it would completely sort of divorce itself from a lot of like the misogynistic or sort of like problematic aspects of it? Because I don't know, part of me, like, I always think of when people talk about it, I say, I think on one hand, it's reflecting an experience of a person and they're speaking from that experience. Other times it does feel egregious. It feels excessive. It doesn't further anything artistically. And I wonder if it's so ingrained that it, at a certain point, like, will, like, the most popping artists be the ones who actually aren't calling women bitches or hoes or saying something different? And I wonder if that's also another hurdle that, like, mainstream hip hop, like, you know, can it cross that barrier? And that's something I always think about all the time, because that does feel like something I wish people were more conscious of, because it does affect everything around us, especially with, you know, like, how misogyny especially affects, like, you know, women of color. Man. That feels like antithetical to kind of the reasons why you want to, you know, like, you want to be liberated and do those
things. Nah, it's weird, man. I think that sort of contradiction even sits in when you think of like the albums, the rap albums of the year that the Grammys are choosing, I mean, they're choosing Nas, they're choosing Roysta 5'9", they're choosing D Smoke, they're choosing these artists that are saying important things, but those aren't the number one songs on the radio. Matter of fact, a lot of those songs aren't on the radio at all. You know, who's on the radio.
And even Nas already has his own issues.
He already, he got his thing too. You know what I'm saying? So there's this weird, like what are the labels and radio pushing? You know, what are the kids wanting? And are really the kids just wanting this because they're getting it from the radio, you know, versus what the industry, if you will, the gatekeepers, if you will, what are they rewarding? Because you take somebody like NBA Choppa, who like, he's blacklisted, but is the behind Drake is the highest streaming artist. You know what I'm saying? So like, even no matter what the industry does, if this what the streets want, this what the streets want. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if it's like, is this, it's not so much a hip hop thing, but a conversation of who do we want to be as a people?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like you said, the art reflects that. So it's like the market, I asked the other X factor, the market don't care. The market's like, what y'all want?
Yeah.
Okay, here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the instrumental
market don't care. Right. Yeah. What's popping right now? Okay, give them 20 more of that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's where capitalism comes in.
That's where capitalism comes in. So like, man, I think hip hop's going to go the way that, in my mind, I look at like metal and rock, to where it's like it evolves into these other things. And we could become the dudes in the basement, you know what I'm saying, with our AC/DC t-shirts talking about Motorhead's the last real group, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then, or we could just let it evolve, let it change, let it become what it is, and just kind of be proud of whatever iterations that they have. And like, and hope that we're teaching these young brothers, these young girls to like be different in the world. You feel me? Because like to this day, like I throw, which was probably gonna be my plug, like I throw this party every first Sunday in Long Beach. And when It Ain't No Fun comes on, I mean, the whole 150, 200 people, men, women, children, everybody's singing it.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't, it. And then you have to stop the song and be like, hey, listen, nobody really say this. Don't actually say this to anyone. Like, these are not okay words in real life.
It's wild when the whole party goes up going, when I met you last night, baby.
Right.
Before you opened up your gap and you're like, whoa.
And you even licked my balls. Like, that's in the song. Or when we be like, yo, what's my favorite word?
Yeah.
Bitch. The whole party. And you're like, don't really call nobody that though. Like, don't actually say that to nobody. But like, I don't know. Is it?
Well, I think, and I don't mean to say that this is even exclusively something that's happening in hip hop, because again, every art form is going to reflect back what is happening in society on some level. So like, I'm not trying to pin all of our ills on hip hop at all, but I'm just trying to think of like, because to your point, it is evolving now and we see more like LGBTQ rappers coming in the game, starting to chart, or, you know, like female identifying rappers. It that already is evolving, because again, all those groups also have their own sets of struggles and oppression that they're dealing with, and it shouldn't be a surprise that naturally the language of hip hop would migrate to those places. So I feel like I'm always excited.
Me too.
Because for every like SoundCloud rapper, I'm like, come on y'all, this is not good music. There is some forward thinking or kind of trippy artist who's like, I kind of take these kind of, like, I'm kind of doing like emo rap, like I'm fusing emo with rap, and I'm like, okay,
do it, do you.
I love that. Exactly,
totally with it. Same. I never want to be that, because I feel like that's, you just put it, you put an expiration date on. You might as well just go buy your Dockers and your New Balance. You know what I'm saying?
And tuck
your
t-shirt
in. You just give up.
Prep.
Just give up. The day you just put an expiration date whenever you start being like, these young, I don't like none of this young rap. And I'm like, oh, it's not for you. It's fine. Yeah. Let them have it. That's dope. Be excited for them. You know what I'm saying? Be an OG. Don't be an old head. Be an OG.
Yeah. No, true. That's facts. Yeah, because we've definitely met people, Jack. We've met people who are like, you know, like the new stuff, not really messing with
it. Yeah.
You know, bro, that dude still showing up and is like, oversized throwback jersey, got his baseball cap cocked just a little bit to the
side. Got the, you know what I'm saying? Sticker I'm like, on it still,
Yeah, he's like, yo, this is real hip hop. You see these JNCOs now? Yeah. Granted, my daughter's wearing JNCOs now, which is pretty cool to see. Yeah. But and that's not why he doing it.
She's asking you if you have a 4X tall tee, white tee that you can wear.
Just relax. The oversized fitted cap. Come on, man. Looking like Fabulous in 2001. Yeah. Like,
she's like, no, I don't tie my do-rag under here. No, I'll let that blow in the wind.
Okay.
Well, Prop, we could honestly have you back on every day to talk about this. It's such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, you could follow me all on like Prop Hip Hop. Oh, that's all my at mentions, you know, and that's my website. I do have one like plug for anybody in the LA area. Like I said, I do a party every, speaking of hip hop, we're doing a 50th anniversary kind of celebration with you appreciate this with all the original mix masters from K-Day LA, the 1580 one. So we're talking Battle Cat, Julio G, like all the original. Yeah, it's crazy. They're all coming. So Club Real Ones, it's every first Sunday. So this one is August 6th in Long Beach. Go to clubrealones.com, get you a ticket. Dude, it's going to be super dope, man. I throw it with the Beat Junkies. So like it'll be Icy Ice is there, you know, DJ Curse is there. It's going to be like, Baker Boys are coming. Like, it's going to be like an incredible
with Tito?
Weekend. Huh?
With Tito?
Yeah. Tito's coming.
No.
This is Tito.
No, Tito's coming. No, is Tito going to be there?
You think I'm kidding? Tito's going to be there.
No. From Tito Top 4 and 4?
Tito's 4, play 4.
This is Tito in La Casa. All my girls that call me Rasa. Yo, that was, anyway, for all my LA.
Now, okay, he say he coming. Let me put that caveat. Okay. The Baker Boys, Nick and Eric, they pull up all the time. They'll probably be there just because again, it's the Mixmasters. So they'll be there. Now, last time Eric came, he said Tito was coming. So I think this might be the weekend. But yeah, clubrealones.com. Please come pull up on me. And you guys too, y'all too on this screen.
Yes.
Please come.
Okay.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Right. Every name you said, I de-aged 5 years. I'm like 13 now.
As soon as you heard it. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Amazing. Is there work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there's a lot of work of media I've been enjoying.
Okay.
I'm almost like mourning too, like knowing like all these shows I've been watching are ending. And I'm like, well, they're not returning, not for a while, you know, because nobody's writing right now. As it should be. But I think my favorite one is this tweet from my homeboy, Toby Nwigwe. He was like, for Twitter, he was like, yeah, that X is the perfect symbol for Twitter. I was like, it just plays so well into just how unaware Elon is about himself.
Yeah.
Like totally, I've never met someone so... Well, obviously, I've never met him, but like, I don't know anybody that lacks that much self-awareness. Right. Are you calling it X? And like, you damn right. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you are. Yes, you are X.
No, no. You know? Right.
I was reading this thing about streetwear, like a guy who's like the king of streetwear in the fashion community. Philippe Plein or something. Plein. He's like a German dude, but he was like interviewed and he was like, I love underdog stories. Like, I love Elon Musk. And I just had to stop reading. I was so confused.
Yeah, I can't talk no more. Yeah.
But then he was launching a like pair of sneakers that he co-designed with Snoop. And I was just like, fuck, man.
Now I have to buy the shoes.
Damn it.
That conflicted.
Miles, where can people find you? What's work of media you've been enjoying?
Just wherever there's at symbols, at Miles of Gray. That's, you know, threads too. Or, you know, I do thread things.
I'll be over there.
Or whatever we call them. Yeah. It's cool. Let's see. A tweet that I like, at Noah Garfinkel tweeted, in this house, we believe that X is the coolest letter. 69 is the funniest number. Paul Pelosi gayed himself with a hammer, and memes can be a bank. Just like peak blue check so Twitter out front signs that you would have.
Yeah. So funny. Oh, that's amazing. Tweet I've been enjoying is actually a screen cap of a blue sky from Truck Chris at truckchris.bsky@social. Uvalde cops cowering behind their vehicle, softly whispering, "Try that in a small town."
Oh.
Yeah. You can find me on X at Jack_O'Brien and on Threads at Jack_O_Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
I think we're talking about hip hop, and Jack, you were trying to find that earworm, trying to figure out what that track was.
2000.
With the help of Zeit Gang, we realized it was Grand Poobah's 1995 hit 2000 from the album with the same title, 2000. That album's called 2000, isn't it?
Yep.
So let's go out on that so people can actually understand where Jack was coming from. This is Grand Poobah with 2000.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll link off to that in the footnotes. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Deuces.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.